count the privilege of preaching, never consider it a light thing, whether it's another one of the Lord's churches or where we're a member. Okay. But we do appreciate being here. Appreciate Brother Matt. I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19. Before we read there in 2 Kings 19, we would like to provide a little background to what we will read. What we will read is an event that takes place during the reign of Judah's 13th king, which is Hezekiah. Just prior to his reign, of course, was the reign of his father, Ahaz. Ahaz reigned for 16 years, and we are told in 2 Kings 16 and 2 that he did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the overall character of the reign of Hezekiah's predecessor, Ahaz, is seen there in 2 Kings 16, verses 3 and 4. But in the course of 16 years during his reign, there was a great spiritual decline in the nation. The nation moved further and further and further from God. They, of course, abandoned the worship of God, and they were more and more in conformity with the ungodly nations around them. We learn from 2 Chronicles 28 and 24 that Ahaz cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. He shut the doors of the house of the Lord, made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So by the end of his reign, Judah was in a very advanced stage of sin. And these were the conditions when Hezekiah began his reign. We read in 2 Kings 18 and verse 1, we see that Hezekiah began his reign in the third year of Hoshea, who was the last king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And we see there in 2 Kings 18 verses 1 through 8 that Hezekiah began to lead a reformation in Judah in the fourth year of his reign, after years of the neighboring northern kingdom embracing idolatry and immorality and years of insensitivity to the messengers of God, to the message of God. God raises up a man by the name of Shalmaneser, and he was king of Assyria. And he emboldens Shalmaneser and empowers him to go against the northern kingdom. And we read in 2 Kings 18 and verse 9 that he surrounds the northern kingdom. And in verse 10 of 2 Kings 18, we see that the northern kingdom, Israel, falls to Assyria. Sennacherib followed Shalmaneser as king of Assyria. And in the 14th year of Hezekiah, we read there in 2 Kings 18:13, Judah is enjoying a time of spiritual refreshing, and Sennacherib shows up. So about 8 years after the fall of the northern kingdom, Sennacherib shows up. And Hezekiah, who had walked with God, he's a man who has been used of God. He's a man who has lived for God. He becomes scared. And he begins to think to himself, perhaps I should have been paying tribute all this time to Assyria. And in 2 Kings 18 verses 14 through 16, in an attempt to appease Sennacherib, Hezekiah took what God had given and gave it to the heathen king. There's a lesson there. Do not try to appease the heathen. Don't try to appease the heathen. In 2 Kings 18 and verse 17, in an attempt to scare Judah, Sennacherib sends three of his chief men with a great host to Hezekiah. In verse 18 of 2 Kings 18, Hezekiah sends out three men to meet these individuals. In the following verses, the representatives of Sennacherib tell these three men of Hezekiah in the hearing of some of the people, "You go and you tell Hezekiah that we are going to destroy you, and you will not be able to get help from Egypt. You will not find help from any other nation. Not even your God can save you from us." So there it is. The man of God, the people of God, threatened by the enemies of God. We read in chapter 18 and verse 37 that the three men that Hezekiah had sent out, they return to Hezekiah. Their clothes are rent, and they told him the message from Sennacherib. So now it's a time of great fear. It is a time when dread and horror are filling the hearts of God's people. Coming to 2 Kings 19, we read in verse 1 that when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. Also at that time, verse 2, Hezekiah sent messengers to Isaiah, the prophet, to inform him of the situation. And in verse 3, we are told what these messengers are told to tell Isaiah. And what they are told to tell Isaiah give us a picture of what the people were feeling at this time. They're to say, "This is a day of trouble," or "This is a day of problems and difficulties. This is a day of great distress. This is a day of great harassment and rebuke." That is, it's a day of reprimands and threats from the enemy and blasphemy. That is, it's a day of profanity and irreverence. And there is no strength to bring forth. We have no might to confront this matter. And Hezekiah received encouragement and assurance from Isaiah. We see that in verse 6 and 7. He receives word that the Lord would deliver them from Assyria. Hezekiah then received a threatening letter from Sennacherib. And we want to pick up in verse 14 and read through verse 20. "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord," just like he did in verse 1, "and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, 'O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only.' Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou prayest to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard.'" In this message, we want to focus on that letter that Hezekiah received. And we want to focus upon what Hezekiah did with that letter. The subject of our message this morning is, we all have a letter. And I'm not talking about a church letter. We all have these letters. We have more than one that we receive. But we want to notice two things about Hezekiah concerning this letter. And then, of course, we want to make application to ourselves. The first thing we need to notice is Hezekiah had a special place where he met with God. Twice, verse 1, verse 14, we read that Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord. I believe that was his habit. Hezekiah had a place where it was his habit to meet with God. Every one of us needs a spot. We need a special place where we meet with God. A place where we get away from everyone else. A place where we get away from everything else and get alone with God. I believe it's essential to the Christian life for it to be our habit to meet alone with God. Christ stressed the importance of such in Matthew 6 and verse 6. We'll not read that verse. We're all familiar with it. But Christ speaks of a habit of prayer there. He says, when thou prayest. He also speaks of a stated place of prayer. Enter into thy closet. But notice this was to be a silent and secluded place. Shut the door. Shut the door. That is, when you go into this place, this special place where you meet alone with God, you don't bring in your cell phone. You get away from everything. Because you're there to meet with God. Shut the door. Here in this day of connectivity, we forget many times to shut the door. The phone may ring, you can answer it later. They'll leave a message. You've got important business to tend to. You're meeting with God. Shut the door. Shut the door. This is a very important principle. So we have to get along with God in a secret place, and that's not easy today. If you're raising a family, it's very difficult. And you shut out all distractions. It might mean you have to get up at 2 in the morning to do this. But we can all do it. We need to have this principle firmly established in our lives. Because there's help there. There's strength there. There's enablement there. We find assurance there. We find peace. We find instruction. We find wisdom there. We find comfort there. So the first principle is we have to have this place where we get along with God. But notice Hezekiah intentionally did something with the letter that he received. Notice verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter. Hezekiah received the letter. There it is, the letter. He received it. We can receive a letter in the mailbox on any day that can just ruin our day. You can receive a letter by phone. You can receive it by email. You can receive it by text. All kinds of ways of receiving the letter. But Hezekiah received the letter. And it was a letter that challenged the word of God to him. Verse 10 tells us that. We're not going to reread those verses. But verse 10 tells us that it's a letter that challenged the very word of God. Verse 11, we see that it was a letter that challenged Hezekiah's faith. In verse 12, we see, verse 12 and 13, it was a letter that would divert his attention from God. Do we have anything in our lives? Do we have some letters in our lives that divert our attention from God? Oh, yes, we do. There was a letter that added to all the problems and the difficulties and the concerns and the distresses and the threats that are mentioned in verse 3. So there he is with this letter. He has to do something with the letter. You have to do something with the letter. And doing the wrong thing with the letter, or having the wrong reaction to the letter, has the potential to create a bad spirit in Hezekiah and in us as well. Doing the wrong thing with the letter could cause discouragement to settle into our hearts. Just simply doing the wrong thing with the letter. It's not the letter that discourages us. It's what we do with the letter that either causes discouragement or not. So doing the wrong thing with the letter, having an inappropriate reaction to the letter, gives the letter the potential to bring defeat to the heart and mind of Hezekiah. Doing the wrong thing with the letter can drain you spiritually, suck spirituality right out of you, and make you unfit and make you unable to serve God. So there's Hezekiah with this letter. And we read in verse 14 that Hezekiah, no doubt, with letter in hand, went up to the house of the Lord. And he did so with intent to do something with the letter. He had a purpose in his heart and mind concerning the letter. And he went to the house of God, that special place, that place where he was accustomed to go. And what does it say? He spread it. He spread it before the Lord. That's what he did with the letter. He entered into the presence of God. And he let go of the letter and spread it before the Lord. We have to let go of the letter and spread it before the Lord. That's our problem today. We don't want to let go of the letter. And when we have the wrong, when we do the wrong thing with the letter, disaster is sure to follow. Things in our life, we all have letters. Things in our lives that are burdens, needs, trials, pressures, battles, temptations, problems, obstacles. These things wrongly reacted to, these things wrongly mishandled, can bring spiritual disaster into our lives. Again, it's not the letter. It's not the letter that brings disaster into our lives. It's the mishandling. It's doing the wrong thing with the letter that brings spiritual loss to our lives. But we all have these letters. They are letters that challenge our faith. Is there anybody here that doesn't have something in their life that challenges your faith every single day? We all have letters, those things that divert our attention from God. And these letters can add to the ordinary troubles of life. There are just ordinary troubles of life. And these letters can add to them. And what we do with these letters adds to our problems. So we all have these letters. And we got to do something with them. Someone may say, well, I just ignore it. Well, you've done something with it. You have to do something with the letter. We want to consider just a few things that people commonly do with the letter. You can take the letter. You can shut your blinds, turn off the lights, and sit in a room and read it over and over and over and over again. There's people that do that, engrossing their mind in the letter. And in doing that, the spirit of discouragement and depression will overwhelm you. But you just, it's almost like you're addicted to the letter. You just keep reading it. And before long, you read things into the letter that aren't even there. It'll fill you, you do that with the letter, it'll fill you with a wrong spirit. It'll fill you with a wrong attitude. It may even fill you with self-pity. Oh, poor me, I've got this letter. And you just read it over and over and over again. You know what happens? You get stuck in a terrible place. There are a lot of terrible places to get stuck in. Been there many times. Why? Because it did the wrong thing with the letter. And you'll make one bad decision after another. You just keep reading that letter over and over and over and over again, engrossing your mind in the letter. It clouds your mind. You are not able to make a good decision. And you make one bad decision after another, which just brings more misery into your life. And this pretty much describes the life of many today. It's sad. It almost, if you just keep reading the letter, it almost puts you in an inescapable cycle. Just round and round. Or you can let go of it and spread it before the Lord. Something else we can do with the letter. You can take the letter. You can fold it up, put it in your pocket, take it wherever you go, constantly reading it, giving yourself the ability to read it at any time. When you carry that letter around with you, you might not read it every second of the day, but it's right there. I can pull it out anytime. And when you do that, you always have the ability to pull out the letter. And the voice of the flesh and the voice of Satan, no matter what you're doing during the day, says, don't forget the letter. Oh, yeah. And here we go. We can be living our lives, we can be having a conversation with someone, a pleasant conversation, and here comes the voice. Don't forget the letter. Oh, yeah. I want to discuss this with you. Do you see what it says right here? What do you think about that? And here we go again. And this is what people do. You can be having a good day. You can be enjoying the blessings of life. You can be having a good time with your spouse. You can be having a good time with your children. And here comes that voice. Don't forget the letter. Oh, yeah. And out it comes again. You can go into the house of God. Letters in your pocket. Revivals going on all around you. And here comes that voice. Don't forget the letter. Oh, yeah. And here it comes again. God begins to prick your own heart. Don't forget the letter. So we can get up in the morning, we can fold the letter up, put it in our pocket, go through the day, but we've always given ourselves access to the letter. Or you can just set it before the Lord and go throughout the day. Another thing people do with the letter is they take it with them all through the day. And they haven't locked themselves in a room, but they've always got the letter right here. I mean, they walk, it's always right there. That's all they see. That's all they see is the letter. They get up in the morning, and there's the letter. It's on the nightstand. It happens to all of us. Something's happened the day before in your life. You get up in the morning, bam, it hits you as soon as you get up. I mean, it's like a Mack truck. Bam, it hits you. You've got to do something with that. And we get up in the morning, and there's the letter. Sitting on the night table. There it is. And you pick it up. And you read it. Good way to start the day, isn't it? Wouldn't it be better to start the day to pick it up and just, Lord, there it is. There it is, Lord. And you pick it up and you read it. And then you carry it with you wherever you go. You read it again. You think about it. You read it again. And you think about it some more. You never let go of the letter. And you bring misery into everything that you do. And you walk around your life like this with the letter right in front of you. Your vision is clouded. You can't see past the letter. Everything you do comes back to the letter. And this is the way that many live their lives. Been there and done that many times. And you walk around with the letter. You become oblivious to everything that is around you. These are the people. They're walking around with the letter. No one cares about me. No one cares about me. No one cares. No one cares. They never look up the letter. Look up from the letter to see the people that care. They're engrossed in the letter. Again, good things might be happening right before them, the blessings of God all around them, but they can't see past the letter. That's as far as they see, the letter, the letter. And keeping the letter before you, you cloud your thought process. You saturate your mind with the letter. You basically become drunk with the letter. And when you're drunk, you don't think right. And you don't act right. And they become drunk with the letter. Keeping the letter constantly before you, guess what's controlling your life? The letter. The letter. How many times I have received a letter and I have let that letter control my life for an entire day, or 2 days, or 3 days? That's sin. That's sin for you and I to do that. Pretty soon, there are people you walk around long enough facing the letter defines your life. You do that long enough, that letter, whatever it is, defines your life. No matter what happens, everything comes back to the letter. And here's how people walk into the house of God many times. They can't see the needs of their brothers and sisters because they're with the letter all the time. They can't have fellowship with their brothers and sisters because all they see is the letter. Again, these are the same people who say their church is unfriendly. No one said hi to me. If they were to come right up to you, then you wouldn't notice because your face is in the letter. Your life has become defined by the letter. It's sad. Oh, sad. Paying no attention and being insensitive to the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ because all they can see is the letter. And that's all that matters in their life. And they sit in the pew. Oh, I didn't get anything out of that service. I wonder why. Faces in the letter. Everyone else around them is being blessed. Oh, I didn't get a thing out of it. Because they can't see past the letter. We don't want to get there. And these people will eventually, many times, well, I'm just going to leave the church because I'm not being fed. That pastor doesn't feed me. Oh, how can he? You've got the letter right in front of you all the time. So there are many things that we can do with the letter. But when we respond to the letter, in any one of these ways, the letter becomes a crippling weight. And we can't function like a child of God is supposed to function. And you know what else we do? When we carry around our letter, pick up another one. And pretty soon we'll pick up another one. And we'll receive some more ourselves. And we'll pick up the letters of others. And pretty soon we're carrying a filing cabinet around with us, filled with letters. Oh, I don't know why I'm so tired. Because we carry a filing cabinet of letters all around. And some people even have them alphabetized. I mean, they can go to that file cabinet. I've got that letter. I know exactly where it is. And they can pull it out at any time. Do you remember 22 years ago on this date? And just in case you don't, there it is. Oh, what a miserable, miserable way to live. But Hezekiah took the letter to that special place where he met with God, and he got along with God, and he spread it before the Lord. He let go of it and spread it before the Lord. That's the key. Whatever the letter is, he spread it before the Lord. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We all have it. We all have it in our life. And whatever it is, get to that special place. Get to that special place and spread it before the Lord and say, Lord, look at this. Lord, look at this. Do something, Lord, about this letter. I'm leaving it with you. And I'm here to tell you, the letter looks a lot different spread out before God than it does in my hand. Oh, how we need to learn to take whatever it is, spread it before the Lord. And you can read, we don't have time today, but you can read as Hezekiah is pleading with God concerning that letter. Oh, that we would learn to do that. Because I promise you today, before this day is over, you're probably going to receive a letter. We're all going to receive letters. And every day we've got to do something with the letter. Every day there's going to be things that are just going to disturb us and bother us. And if something doesn't happen in the day that disturbs us and bothers us, we have the great ability to go back three days ago when something did, and we'll pick up there. But we've got to do something with this letter. And the thing to do again is to go to that special place. Lord, I don't want to carry this letter. It has no spiritual benefit to me whatsoever. So, Lord, I'm just going to spread it before you. There it is, Lord. There it is. And many of us, perhaps only me, have this habit. We spread the letter before the Lord. We go through our day. We come back a couple hours later. Pick it up. Take it away. We need to leave it there. God help us. God help me to leave the letter. So I got to ask you today, is there in your life that which you need to just spread before God? Amen. On the basis of who God is, for His honor and for His glory. When Satan presents his resume to us, what we need to do is declare God's. And that's what Hezekiah did. Spread it before the Lord. There's help there. There's strength there. I realize it's easier. It's much easier said than done to spread it before the Lord. Spread it before the Lord. There's assurance there. There's peace there. There's relief. There's instruction. There's guidance. There's wisdom. Notice verse 20 and we'll close. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou prayest to me against Sennacherib king of Syria, I have heard. Spread it before God. Plead with God. And God will hear.